Me and Brother Hunt sweat.
Amen. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
It's good to see so many saints in God's house this morning. My heart is just filled with joy. Amen. Miriam is in the house. Amen. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, if you remember when the Israelites crossed the Red Sea and they looked back and saw that all their enemies had been drowned by God's miraculous closing of the Red Sea. And the Bible talks about Miriam grabbing her tambourine. Amen. It says she led in worship. Hallelujah. I kept saying, I said, who in the world is got that tambourine back there? That's an anointed tambourine. It ain't like the average tambourine. Amen. Hallelujah. And then I was telling Sister Becky that Brother Kevin, I said, he's handsome when he's singing. And then I said, Lord, don't let him stop singing. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Amen. Isn't it all right when you're in God's house? Amen. It's okay to laugh a little bit, isn't it? Hallelujah. There's a word coming from the Lord. You know, how many of you believe that God is still in control? Ah, it's unanimous. He is still in control. Amen. And that's one of the reasons why I'm always excited. Not always, but I'm excited today because I know he's in control. Secondly, I'm excited today because there's a word coming from the Lord. Amen. You did not get in your cars and drive here or walk here in vain. The Lord is going to speak to you this morning. Amen. Isn't that all right? And thirdly, I'm excited because you are here today. Your faces are smiled. That means you all came with great expectation. Amen. How many of you believe that if you bring something when you come, you're going to get something? Amen. And if you get something, you're sure enough to take something with you when you leave. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Let's look at a passage of scripture. Amen. Turn with me to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And when you get there, we'll camp out somewhere around the 49th verse. We'll start there. I don't know how much I'll read, but we'll bring you up to date on everything. If you're there, will you say amen?
Amen.
Luke chapter 8, we're going to begin reading at verse 49. And the word of God reads, while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. You may take your seats. I want to talk just for a little while on the subject of don't be afraid any longer. Let us pray. Our merciful Father and our God who art in heaven, we thank you, Lord God, for this day, Father, is the day that thou hast made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And Father, we've had a wonderful time with praying and giving testimonies and sending up praises to you. And we've enjoyed, Lord God, the fellowship, the songs of Zion. And we pray, oh God, that you have received our worship in spirit and in truth. But now, Father God, we're asking that you would speak to us, Father God, that you would minister to us wherever we are in our life right now, and that you would help us to deal with our situations and our circumstances. And then, Father God, we ask that you would forgive us for all of our sins, Father, that we may be holy and acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and redeemer who liveth. And we ask, Father God, that you would tear down any strongholds that perhaps Satan may be even attempting right now to build up into the minds of even these your very own people, Father God. Your word and your will shall be done. And then, Father, I ask that you would remember little old me, Father, that you would give me an abundance amount of energy and strength and a miraculous amount of knowledge and wisdom. Lord God, that I may rightly divide your word and that I may proclaim it, Lord God, in the rightful context that it should be in. So God, I give you glory right now in advance. For Father, we desire to walk by faith and not by sight. It's in Jesus' name. And let all the saints of God with uplifted voices shout amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do not be afraid any longer. I think about a newborn child or an elementary child who's afraid of the dark at night, who's afraid that perhaps there's a boogeyman under their bed and that he's sure enough attempting to get them when the lights go out. I think about perhaps a middle school child who is afraid of not making new friends when they go into middle school. I think about a high school student who's perhaps afraid of the peer pressure when they enter into high school and afraid of the fact that their bodies are changing and how will others respond to the way they look now as opposed to middle school. And then I think about adults. I think about adults and I think about adults being afraid of sometimes how they're going to pay their bills, or perhaps afraid of losing a loved one, or perhaps afraid of that upcoming doctor's visit and the fact that the doctor may not have anything good to say about your diagnosis. And so I just began to think about the fears that we all may experience on a daily basis. And when I think about the fears that we experience, I come to a conclusion that no matter how old we are, no matter what color we are, no matter what size or shape we are, no matter what your ethnical or cultural background is, no matter how long you've been born again, no matter how Holy Ghost filled you are, that if you live long enough, that eventually you're going to cross upon a time in your life to where you're going to have some fears and some doubts. Can I get a witness in here? The Lord have mercy. And so therefore, the Lord has touched my heart that he would enable me to put together this message for all of us this morning about the statement that we don't have to fear any longer. And the Lord would have me to entitle it that way because he says, I know you've been fearing, so you can stop it right now. Good God Almighty. Good God Almighty. As I tell you the story, Jesus has been traveling over in the area of Gadarene, and he has healed a man who was demon possessed. And you all know the story. It's over in Mark chapter 5. But you must understand that after Jesus did such a wonderful job with healing this man and clothing him in his right mind, that there were some people who showed up and were upset with Jesus because he affected their economy. Can I get a witness? And so Jesus leaves that area and he returns across the Sea of Galilee back in the area of Capernaum where he had set up his headquarters. And the Bible tells us that as Jesus has passed in verse 40, it says it comes to pass that when Jesus has returned, it says the people had gladly received Jesus for they were waiting for him. And while the Lord was gone, they were waiting for him to come back. And I'm convinced that many of them had left and gone searching for Jesus, but they couldn't find him. And so they came to a conclusion that if I go back to where he always returns, sooner or later he gonna show up. I wish I had a witness in here. Somebody that knows that no matter what goes on in your life, that if you stay where the Lord tells you to stay, sooner or later he gonna show up. I wish I had a witness in here. And so the Bible says that he comes back and they've been waiting for him. And the Bible says in verse 41, it says, and behold, there came a man by the name of Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at his feet and he besought Jesus, and he said, Jesus, I need you to come to my house. And when you read the other accounts in all the gospels, you'll find out that he told Jesus exactly what his situation was. He knew exactly what he was facing. He knew exactly what he was dealing with. His name is Jairus. He's a ruler of the synagogue. In other words, he was a man who was responsible for the maintenance of the synagogue. He was the maintenance man. He was the upkeep man. If a light bulb went out, he'd put it back in. Come on, somebody. If the carpet was tore up, he'd replace it. He was the maintenance man in the synagogue. And so therefore, it doesn't mean he was a member, but he was always around the house of God, which means, you know, when you're around the house of God, even if you ain't there for the right reason, sooner or later you might hear something that might help you. Come on, somebody. I said sooner or later you'll hear something that just might help you later on down the road. And I realized that earlier in the Gospels, I found that Jesus had been in the synagogue and had healed a man who was demon possessed. And I believe that Jairus was somewhere doing maintenance on the synagogue when he witnessed a miracle by Jesus. And then sometime later, he realized, I've got to go find Jesus, because if he did it for the demon possessed man, I know he can do it for me. Is there somebody here today that knows that not because Jesus did it for you, but because you saw him work in somebody else's life, and you came to the conclusion that if he did it for them, I know he'll do it for me? Can I take my time today? And so therefore the Bible says that Jairus comes to Jesus, and I got several practical points I want to give you this morning. So can I take my time? If you get in a hurry, I won't be upset if you depart, but I just need to take my time this morning. And so the Bible says, look with me in verse 42 as we began to pick apart this amazing story. The Bible says, for he had one only daughter about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. And good God Almighty, he comes to Jesus. He says, I got a situation. He says, I got one daughter. He says, she's the only one that I got, and she's dying. Come on, somebody. When you read the other gospel accounts, you'll find that he told Jesus, not only is she dying, but she's already dead. And I want you to know, first of all, today, that Jesus knows how important it is to us. Somebody missed it. It went over your head, but reach up and grab it. I said, Jesus knows how important it is to us. Now, I didn't say what day it was, because for some of us it might be your finances, for some of us it might be your children, for some of us it might be your job, for some of us it might be your health and strength, but whatever your it is, he knows how important it is to you. God Almighty, he knows how important it is. Have you ever sat down and told somebody about something you was going through, and they looked at you like you lost your mind? You kind of felt like they had no idea how you were feeling or what you were going through. But I stopped by to tell you this morning that when you have a little talk with Jesus, he knows how important it is. Good God Almighty, he knows how important it is. He's never too busy. He's never too important to where he won't take time out to go and see about you. I said he knows how important it is. Look with me in verse 43. Verse 43 says, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years. Good God Almighty. Here he comes. He's talking to Jesus about going with him to deal with his daughter. And the Bible says there's a woman who has an issue of blood for 12 years. And I always wondered, why would they have stuck this situation in between what was going on with Jairus and his daughter? I believe it's because, secondly, God wants us to know that Jesus not only knows how important it is, but he knows how long you've been dealing with it. Come on, somebody. Good God Almighty. I said he knows how long you've been dealing with it. The Bible says she had the issue for 12 years. Now, some of us may have been dealing with it for a month, some for a week, some for years, but Jesus knows just how long you've been dealing with it. Am I right about it? Watch this. I'm going to put this truck in reverse, and let's go back to verse 42, the second part. The Bible says, but as he went, the people thronged him. In other words, I want you to see, thirdly, that Jesus is always willing to go with you. Good God Almighty. The Bible says, as he went, the people thronged him. He came to Jesus. Jesus goes with him. It doesn't matter what your status is. It doesn't matter what you've done. It don't matter what mistake you made. It doesn't matter how many Sundays you miss. Come on, somebody. It doesn't matter how many months you miss, how many years you miss. But if you show up at Jesus' feet with the right motive, with the right mindset, with the clear heart, he'll walk with you. He'll talk with you. And he'll remind you that you belong to him. God Almighty. Look with me, y'all, as I look in verse 44 to 48. I don't want to read it all to you, but I don't want you to miss anything. The Bible says in verse 44 down through 48, it says the woman comes up behind Jesus. She touches the border of his garment and said she immediately becomes healed. And then Jesus turns around and said, who touched me? And good God Almighty, and everybody denied it. They said, I didn't touch you. What is he talking about? What's wrong with him? How does he think somebody's touched him? Everybody's touching him. Look at the multitude. But Jesus said, I want you to know that somebody touched me, and I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. In other words, what Jesus was saying is, not only did somebody touch me, but somebody got what they needed. Come on,
somebody. I said somebody got what they needed. And I stopped by to tell you today that everybody who shows up might not get what they need, but those who get what they need, the Lord knows that you got it. Lord have mercy. She got what she needed. And the Bible says when the woman saw that she couldn't be hid, she tells Jesus, "It was me." And look at what Jesus says in verse 48. He said unto her, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort." He said, "Your faith has made you whole." He said, "Go in peace." What am I saying here? What I'm saying in these verses is that whenever there are apparent distractions, they won't hinder you as long as you stay focused on Jesus. Come on, somebody. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. You see, this man has come to Jesus. He says, "I got a situation. I need you to go with me to raise my daughter up. She's dead. She's dying. And I want you to know time is running out, Jesus." And then look at what happened. This woman touches Jesus and Jesus stops and deals with her situation. And the man was probably thinking, "Jesus, I know she's got a problem, but I got a worse problem." Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like your situation deserved more of his attention than somebody else's situation? Because your situation is more desperate than somebody else's situation. But I stop by to tell you that Jesus knows everybody's situation. And no matter how big or how small it is, he can deal with all of it at the same time. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. I know when your hometown BP might have pulled out, but Jesus is still camped out. Can I get a witness here? The Bible says that we must realize that apparent distractions won't hinder you as long as you stay focused on Jesus. The Bible says, "Be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your work in the Lord is not in vain." Somebody knows what I'm talking about. Oh, I'm going to my fifth point now. Look with me in verse 49. I want to stick a pin here because I'm going to be here just for a moment. In verse 49, it says, "While he yet spake," it said, "there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house." Good God Almighty. While Jesus is telling the woman, "Be of good comfort. Faith has made you whole. Go in peace." Somebody shows up and got bad news. Y'all know where I'm going with this. Somebody shows up with bad news and tells Jairus, "Jairus, you may as well stop harassing Jesus. Stop harassing the instructor, the master, because your daughter is just as dead as a doorknob." Can I get a witness in here? What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that even in the midst of your most difficult storm, the devil comes but to steal, but to kill, and to destroy. Come on, somebody. It seemed like when you're down at your lowest point, he wants to step on you. He wants to kick you. Come on, somebody. He wants to frustrate you. He wants to irritate you. And all he's trying to do is get your mind off the Lord and what he's called you to do. But I stop by to tell you, he comes to steal, and he comes to steal and kill, and he comes to try to destroy. Oh, but I got some good news for you. The good news is in verse 50. It says, "But when Jesus heard it," it says, "he answered him and he said, fear not." He said, "Believe only and she shall be made whole." Amen. Good God Almighty. I said, the devil done showed up. He comes not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. Here Jairus is going with Jesus. He sees a distraction. And the devil gets in his mind and tells him that you may as well throw in the towel. He says you may as well give up, even though you got Jesus with you. It ain't nothing he can do now. And I stop by to tell you that sometimes your situation can look so bad. And even though you know the Lord is with you, but even though the Lord is with you, you might feel like this time he can't bring me out. Oh, but I stop by to tell you that the Lord is an amazing God. And I believe that God asked Abraham, "Is there anything too hard for God?" I believe if you were to ask Martha and Mary, "Is there anything too hard for God?" they would tell you that at our lowest point, when he'd been dead for 4 days, come on, go with me, somebody. When he'd been dead for 4 days and when we thought all hope was gone, Jesus showed up down in Bethany, and even though we told him we know we'll see our brother again on the other side, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Can I get a witness here? He said, "Your brother shall rise again." And they said, "I know he's going to rise, but he's going to rise at the resurrection." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection." Just in case if you missed it the first time, he said, "All I got to do is speak a word and your brother will get up." But you know how the devil is. He probably probably showed up in Martha and Mary's mind, and he probably told them Lazarus is stinking, he's been dead for 4 days, and he probably told them that his spirit done already departed and all hope is gone. But Jesus said, roll the stone away. Good God Almighty. Then he said, Lazarus, I know you're in there somewhere. And you know, when the stone rolled away, I believe all the funk came out. And I want to let you know that no matter how stinking your situation is, Jesus will still stand in the midst of it, and he'll speak a word into your situation. Lazarus, come forth. But you know, when the grave clothes are on you, it's got you all bound up. But I want you to know that even though he couldn't walk, he could still leap. Can I get a witness? When you find yourself bound up in your situation, even though you can't walk like you used to, you still got to leap in your situation. Somebody might say, what they jumping for? I'm jumping because I can't run yet. But if I jump long enough, come on somebody, if I jump long enough, sooner or later I'll break out running. Good God Almighty, I feel good right about now. So therefore, I want you to understand, even though the thief shows up, Jesus comes that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. So we find in verse 50, the Bible says in verse 50, it says, when he heard it, he said, fear not. I want you to know my sixth point is, because of Jesus, you don't have to fear any longer. Touch your neighbor and say, because I got the Lord. Come on, somebody. You better come on and pray with me. I need a praying church right about now. Because I got the Lord, I don't have to fear anymore. I know you might have been afraid about some things before you got here, but I want you to know that that fear is about to fall off your shoulders. That monkey is about to be snatched off of your back. That weight is about to be lifted off your spirit. You're going to walk out of here with air under your wings. Come on, somebody. You're going to walk out of here with your eyes to the hills, knowing that all of your help cometh from the Lord. Thank you, Brother Kevin. I needed that word. I want you to say to your neighbor, I'm going to lift up my eyes to the hills. Come on, praying church. From which cometh my help. I need you to know that your help is going to come from the Lord. I want you to know that he made the heavens and the earth. I want you to know he's not going to suffer your foot to be moved. He's going to keep you and he will not slumber. Lay down and go to sleep at night, because the Lord doesn't sleep nor does he slumber. Can I get a witness in here? I want you to know that the Lord is your keeper. He is your shade upon the right hand. When the sun and the heat gets too hot in the kitchen, the Lord knows how to take the heat out of the kitchen. If I could call on the Hebrew boys, if I could call on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they would say there was heat in the furnace. Can I get a witness here? But I want you to know that somebody showed up with the Hebrew boys, and the Bible says it looked like the Son of God. His name is Jesus. And don't you know that though the furnace was hot, the boys were so cool that they took the hotness out of the furnace. And I want you to know, God might not take the heat out of your situation, but he'll make you so cool. Come on, somebody. I said he'll make you so cool that the heat won't affect you. Am I right about it? God, I'm trying to close, but the Holy Ghost just won't let me. I'm almost finished. The Bible says, I'm still in verse 50. I'm trying to get there. In verse 50, the Bible says, now watch this. It says, when Jesus heard it, he answered him. Now here Jesus is. He's speaking to the woman. He's telling her, daughter, you've been blessed. You've been made whole. You've been healed. You've been delivered. You've been set free. Go in peace. Don't let nobody look at you like you're nothing. Come on, somebody. Because you know the fact that she had that issue of blood for 12 years, that means she now got a reputation. I wish I had a witness in here. I said she now got a reputation. But Jesus says, go in peace. Because he says, no matter what your past reputation is, when you've had an encounter with me, when I have touched you, when I have cleaned you up, when I have made you whole, it don't matter what nobody else say about you. Don't matter what nobody else think about you. He says, you got to go in peace. He said, no more walking with your head down, but look to the hills. Pick up your head said, O ye gates and ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory, I said, he will come in. But the word answered is apokrinomahi in the Greek, and it means to conclude for oneself. Don't miss this. You see, though when the man servant showed up and he was speaking to Jairus, I want you to know the devil tried to discourage Jairus. But when the devil tried to discourage Jairus, Jesus stepped to the plate and spoke a word on Jairus's behalf. Oh, what an amazing God we serve. I want you to know that when somebody's talking bad about you, I want you to know that sooner or later, the Lord's going to put somebody in the conversation that will step up and defend your back. I wish I had a witness here. You ain't got to be there to defend yourself, but the Lord will call somebody to take a stand on your behalf. What a good God we serve. And so therefore, Jesus is speaking on Jairus' behalf. It means to conclude for oneself and implies to respond and to begin to speak. But I want you to know, when you dig deeper, apokrinomahi is derived from apo in the Greek, which means off or away. So here's the picture. What Jesus did when the servant showed up, he grabbed Jairus by the arm and he took him off by himself. I wish y'all would see this. He took him off by himself. Can I get a witness? Come here, Deacon Mike. Good God from Mount Zion. You know, here Jairus is. His son and his daughter is sick and to the point to where she's dying. Do y'all see the picture? Good God Almighty. I thank God for the picture. And so Jairus is walking with me. He says, I got to get back to my daughter. And then here comes a servant. Come here, Deacon Webster. The servant shows up and he starts to whisper in his ear. He whispers in his ear. But I want you to know that because I'm the Lord and I don't miss nothing, I heard what it said. And I grabbed Jairus by the arm and I took him off by himself. I got him away from the crowd. I got him away from all that negative information. And I told him, all you got to do is believe. It don't matter what he told you. It don't matter how bad it looks. If you only believe, your daughter will get up. Can I get a witness? That's what he did. He took him off to the side and he told him, your daughter's going to be all right. All you got to do is believe. Good God Almighty. So what am I saying? What I'm saying is, when your trust is in the Lord, it don't matter what anybody else says. Good God Almighty. Look in verse 51. It says, when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in. What am I saying here? The seventh thing I want you to see is that Jesus knows where you are. Good God Almighty. When don't nobody else come to see about you, when don't nobody else call to check on you, the Lord knows where you are. He knows your address. He knows how to get there. For the Bible says he came inside the house. And then I want you to see in verse 54, the Bible says, and when he put them all out, he took her by the hand. Good God Almighty. And he said, maid, arise. Not only does he know where you are, but he knows who you are. I don't believe Jesus asked him what her name was, because he knew every hair on her head. Am I right about it? He knew exactly who she was. But good God Almighty, I want you to see verse 55 as I go to my seat. Verse 55 says, her spirit came again. Jesus said, maid, get up. It says her spirit came again. In order for it to come again, that means it had already departed. I wish somebody would get this. I wish somebody would see that all hope was gone and it seemed like it couldn't be changed. Her spirit has departed. Death and rigor mortis has set in. But Jesus said, hey, spirit, come back here. Make a U-turn. Good God Almighty. I heard a testimony earlier where somebody said that a father's heart stopped. I want you to know, because the heart stopped, Jesus said, it's time to beat again. And God, all right, I believe that God can do exceedingly abundantly above we can expect or imagine. But before I take my seat, I want you to know there's not a situation that Jesus can't reverse. Look at your neighbor and say, I don't care how bad it is, God can reverse it. Oh yes, he can. I'm a living witness that when you're down and out and it looks like you can't get up, the Lord will reverse your situation. He's a good God. I said, come on, somebody. I need a praying church. Get up on your feet. Let's give God some glory. Let's praise him. Let's praise God. Because guess what? You don't have to be afraid any longer. I don't care how bad it is. Because the Bible says there were some folk there that didn't believe. They were laughing at Jesus. And I want you to know, if they laugh at Jesus, they'll laugh at you and me. But that's all right. Because just because they laughed, it didn't stop the girl from getting up. Just because you laugh, it doesn't stop you from excelling in the Lord. Ain't God all right? I said, ain't he all right? He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's bread when you're hungry. I said, he's water when you're thirsty. He's money when you're broke. He's a friend when you're friendless. He's all right. I said, he's all right. He's company when you're lonely. He's a bridge over troubled waters. He's God and all by himself. Ain't he all right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory.
You don't have to be afraid any longer. I've had my fearful nights. My sleepless nights. But I'm living witness. You don't have to be afraid. The Lord is forever with us. As a matter of fact, I've learned that you have his undivided attention even more when others turn their backs on you. Amen. Don't get upset with people. Amen. It's Satan who's behind it all. God's got us. Perfect love cast out fear. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us all stand as I give the invitation to discipleship. Perhaps there's someone here today. You've been traveling to church for a long time, but you realize today that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to save your soul. You don't have a relationship with him. And you haven't been able to shout until today. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Perhaps there's somebody here today who's never been born again. If you're that person, you know you've never let the Lord into your heart. You've never asked him to save your soul. But today is your day of salvation. And the Bible says, harden not your heart when you hear my voice. You heard his voice today. If you're that person, will you just raise your hand and put it back down? Hallelujah. You may be seated. We pray that you all would be patient just a little bit longer and join us as we prepare our hearts and our minds to partake of Holy Communion. And we find our instructions